Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Hail to the victors, Valiant. Hail to the conquerors. You guys have a little fun trying to talk yourself into this. Go ahead. Good job.
SI's Ross Gellinger.
Obviously, the Rose Bowl is called the granddaddy of them all. And a commenter replied to one of my tweets earlier today and said, you know, every granddaddy dies.
And SI's Pat Forty.
Last year, Michigan State was number 3. Beat them. Not bad, but beat them. So, Brom finds ways to pull off upsets. They're going to come in with like 5 trick plays. They're going to have big kicks ready. They're going to throw the ball 55 times.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
I welcome to the pod. Last race for the case of the year. The case is getting closer to me.
What? Give us the standings here.
Well, I have some doubts. I got to check this because
it was game
stop
up.
Talking
you're,
without
you're
even
the game
there's
up.
Nothing to back
no,
up.
I am
I'm
two
only
games
one
up.
Behind.
I am
only
two
one
games
behind.
Up. I am two
the
games
standing,
up.
The standing shows something that, differently.
Stop the steal. That is not it. You went 2-4 last week. Sean, check last week's rundown on the standings, please. I had a lead then. And I went 3-3. Ross went 2-4. He did not stick with me. I pick up a game. We're gonna get to the bottom.
3-3, I think. Right? Didn't I go 3-3?
I'm gonna get to the bottom of this. Let me tell you.
I have it in front of me here, Dan.
The Dominion voting machine that ran this will not stand.
Here we go.
Dan, you pushed on the Mississippi State. You lost on the Clemson cover. You
pushed.
You lost on the Oregon cover. You won on the USC cover. We were together on that. You were the lone Ohio State better.
That's
so
an
you
L.
missed on that.
Whoa, whoa. Bad L.
And you won your lock of the week at Illinois. So you were 2-3-1.
Aha! Wait. Yeah, stop the steal my ass, huh?
Wait. What was this push? That was a win.
The Mississippi State, we all pushed it. The line was at 2. Mississippi State won 24-22.
They only won by 2?
Yeah.
They only won by 2.
Right? 24-22.
They did, 24-22.
Ross lost that one. He won with the Cock Commanders.
But wait a minute. I thought Mississippi State was getting points.
Yeah, Mississippi State was getting points.
Oh, they were getting 2.
Yeah.
So they covered.
Yeah, what the hell, man?
Oh, damn.
Plus 2.
Damn.
Wait a minute. That's a win for me, too.
Yeah, it's a win for me.
State.
And an L. Yeah,
so sitting on the we're giving sitting on a line a win for the underdog.
Yeah, all right. It's getting changed right in there. 37. Make it 37.
I'll take another number on mine. I just
changed mine. I don't care about y'all's.
Mine's 37 now. I got a 2-game lead. All right. This was, we should have, had we done actual pre-show meetings, we could have worked this thing out.
Yeah.
So what are you going to go in with 2? You got a 2-game lead. Okay.
2-game lead.
It looks to me like you have a 1.5 game lead on Ross and
37 to 35. 37 victories.
winning percentage here.
Oh, geez. You are like Alabama. Look at our good losses. I'm about who wins games, Pat.
Oh, God. Listen to you. Unbelievable.
Okay. We'll figure this out. Right. I mean, just I'm going to start browsing. Back.
I got to take some chances.
There's going to be chance taking. There's going to be everything. It's going to get really good later.
Pretty bunch.
I mean, there's three cases of Bush Light. 30 Bracks. 30.
No.
I'm going to try to lose.
No. Old style conventional case.
So here's the question. Do I take 90 Bush Lights? Or do I make you guys buy me good cases and I re-gift them to people?
No. You have to stay on brand and you are getting Bush Light.
Okay.
If you win. Still not over.
Well, they better add an extra shift to the bottling line down there in St. Louis. We're getting this done.
Yeah.
2-game lead. All right, let's get to this. The Rose Bowl was going to tell us today whether or not they were going to allow us to have a playoff in 2 years. The Rose Bowl was going to tell the rest of the sport. The whole sport is hung up on this Rose Bowl. And they had a deadline. The people who run the sport finally got serious. They don't have their bully, Jim Delaney, around to like take care of them. I believe he's a consultant for the Rose Bowl now. Funny how that works.
Yeah.
Funny how that works. Retire is a new form of a consultant.
Consultant for the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the ACC.
Yeah. After years of protecting these guys against all logic. Oh, it's funny how that works. Funny how that works, right? Anyway, they were going to tell us. Now, at the same time, we had this bit, which I found related and but humorous. Ohio State has reportedly told the Rose Bowl they don't want to come.
Yeah.
Don't select us. If we aren't in the playoff, don't pick us. So the Rose Bowl is going to take Penn State. This is how important the Rose Bowl is anymore. Ohio State doesn't want to go.
I got a text from an SEC administrator. It was to a link to the Rivals story, which the Rivals headline is, the Buckeyes themselves requested that the Rose Bowl take Penn State if Ohio State doesn't make the playoff. So it was a link to that. And then this administrator wrote, see, even Ohio State doesn't like the Rose Bowl.
Right.
You can tell they're lining up against the Rose Bowl, baby. It is, yeah.
It's over, Rose Bowl. It's over.
So what is Ohio going State's on, reasoning? What is Ohio State's reasoning?
That's a good question. Right, I don't know.
They went last year. They probably can't get their fans to want to go again. They went last year.
So they've been like, let's go to Miami, I feel like, too. Yeah. So another thing I have to tell this one. So, well, let me talk about the situation with the Rose Bowl right now. So it's, 8:45? We're taping this on Wednesday night. We were supposed to get a decision from the Rose Bowl by Wednesday. It hadn't come. The deadline's passed, so we're stretching it out. There's a little rumbling just from people I've talked to in the last few hours that it will come tomorrow, but we've been told that. I mean, you know, it's been 18 months of this, and you know, I don't know what to expect. Really, it could go to Friday, maybe it could go to next week, but we're told it could come tomorrow, so we'll see. But the ball is in the Rose Bowl's court. You know, as we've talked about on this show before, if they want to play ball, we'll expand the playoff in 2024. I expect if they do want in, and you know, if they amend the contract to expand early, we will have an immediate release from the CFP saying expansion in 2024. We're going in 2024. If they don't want to amend the contract, then we're going to have a release probably that says it's a no-go and we're going to expand in 2026. There's a lot of hate right now on the interwebs for the Rose Bowl. They have put themselves in this position by wanting guarantees in a playoff that is years and years away, that a contract doesn't even exist for, but they want guarantees. And I have to read one of the tweets. You know, obviously the Rose Bowl is called the granddaddy of them all. And a commenter replied to one of my tweets earlier today and said, you know, every granddaddy dies. I thought it was great. So that's the sentiment right now.
Wow.
So let me try to. This is how I understand it. You tell me if I'm wrong here, Ross. What the Rose Bowl wants is that in the future, it maintains its 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern exclusive television window, even if there is a playoff going on. Meaning, if you're playing playoff games on that, on January 1, you have to somehow work it around that exclusive window of time. Is that accurate?
Yes and no. So that was the first original request from the Rose Bowl. The second request, they backed down off of the exclusive window, and they told the CFP, we'll back down on things off of the exclusive window, but we would like to host a semifinal game 2 out of every 3 years instead of 1 out of every 3 years, which, you know, of the other bowls in this group, everybody hosts 2 quarterfinals and then a Rose Bowl, 2 quarterfinals and a Rose Bowl. It's a 3-year rotation. Rose Bowl wants 2 semis in a quarter. You can imagine that did not, you know, that request did not go well.
Yeah.
And so that's, we're waiting to hear resolution on that.
Well, I think this, the board has basically denied all of this, all of these requests. Okay. They're not going to bend to any of these proposals.
Gotcha. The
ones that, those two that we've talked about, where it's exclusive window, where it's a 2 out of every 3 semifinals. They, plain and simple, the board has stood its ground. It's not giving the Rose Bowl much special treatment at all, bottom line. So I think there's some little maybe things that the board will do, but it's not going to do any of these big, I don't think it's going to do any of these big sweeping exceptions for the Rose Bowl. I think, and this has been the feeling for years, we wrote a story last summer about it where we had some CFP officials saying, enough is enough. We've done enough for them. They've got the mountains. They've got the sunset. We get it. But we're done. We're done dealing with it. We're done compromising. And I think there's probably only one or two friends to the Rose Bowl on the board, right? It's the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. Specifically, from what I hear about the latest negotiations, it's the Pac-12. They're kind of encouraging the board to make a compromise. The board's not having it.
You know, I'm picturing talking to like my grandchildren 20 years from now or something, explaining them how college sports, college football works and how it used to work. And like, yeah, the players used to not get any money. Really? Why? Well, that was just the way they thought it should be. Mm. And there was this one bowl game in Southern California that basically told everybody else what to do. Really? Why? Well, because of the sunset. What? That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, the sun had to set on the third quarter on January 1st or else nothing else worked. And that's the history of college football here.
And the guy who did all the protecting happened to get a job consulting with them right after.
Yeah.
He retired.
There you go.
There's always money in it.
What are you
always
saying, money. Dan?
I don't know. Anyway, we'll see. Hopefully we have a expanded playoff in 2 years. If only so Boo Corrigan doesn't have to get mocked every time he's trying to explain the difference between 4 and 5. You just be like, hey, play your way in, man. Just play your way in.
Yeah.
All right. Right. So anyway, the fact that Ohio State doesn't want to even go is just hysterical.
That's pretty startling. It really is.
And it actually is. I'm a little surprised because the Rose Bowl will get a television rating in the equivalent of a semifinal game. Like there'll be 16, 17 million people will watch the Rose Bowl. So you know, maybe Ohio State doesn't need more promotion, but I don't know why you wouldn't want to play Washington in that game and have 17 million people watch your team or your school.
This is just purely a guess here. I don't know, but I think they got a fair amount of blowback last year for players sitting out the Rose Bowl. Like, this is the Rose Bowl you should have played, and they may know that we're going to have a lot of guys,
those guys
who
playing.
Opt out of this bowl
game. But you give your young guys a chance. I mean, that's just...
Yeah, but, I mean, look, there was a lot of blowback last year on guys sitting out.
Again, this is the Rose Bowl. All right, let's get to this one. A little more Coach Prime. Coach Prime has said he will choose on Sunday where he's going to coach. Now, they play Southern this weekend, try to get to 12-0 for the first time in school history down at Jackson State and win the SWAC. That would qualify him for the Celebration Bowl in Atlanta. Which is in mid-December. Coach Prime has said he has an offer from Colorado. There are reported offers also from USF and Cincinnati. I don't know how official that is. I'm not sure, but he does have some choices. Coach Prime doing his thing his own way. Is it going to be a hat dance? Are we going to get like a signing day announcement?
That would not surprise me. I mean, that absolutely is right up his alley. Could you imagine in his post-game press conference at the SWAC championship, him coming in with three hats and putting them on the table, and that just being the press conference, and him picking a school, grabbing a hat.
No, Sunday. He's waiting a day.
Oh, he's going to wait a day.
Yeah. Okay. Prime knows you got to milk it for another day. Right. Yeah, absolutely. That's right. Yeah, like no coach ever. Again, no coach has ever spoken to a school ever. Prime's like, yeah, these guys offer. Whatever. I'll make a decision a couple of days. You wait on me. I love it. I love it. All right. If you are Deion Sanders, which one of, and let's say these three offers are real offers, they're all there. I'm sure USF and Colorado, I don't know about Cincinnati, but they should. I mean, you know, I still don't know how, like, this, how he doesn't have a SEC or ACC job or what. I mean, like if Deion Sanders had gone to Auburn and that you could bet on something like this, I would have bet that he would have a top two recruiting class next year.
You might have.
This is the lottery ticket. This is you took Hugh Freeze over a guy that could literally walk into every living room in the South practically and say, Nick Saban, I don't think so.
Yeah,
they did. And you took Hugh Freeze.
Yeah, they sure did.
They sure did. They didn't want any part of it. Now, I have heard, he's not that easy to work with. He's unorthodox. He's this, that. Yeah, well, whatever. He's 11-0. He could land you number one recruiting classes repeatedly. He's a huge name, and he brings with him like 5-6 great players, like the transfer portal immediately. So,
yeah, the rumblings are he wants to bring 7 players. You know, obviously, is his son quarterback Shadir. You know, the number one recruit is it Hunter Travis Hunter from
Travis
last year?
Travis Hunter, two-way star. So those are
certainly two, but he wants to bring around 7. Is kind of what I've heard. He is 3 seasons as a college coach at Jackson State. He's 26-5, 4-3
of those losses.
2020, yeah, 4-3 in 2020, 11-2 and 11-0. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got a team at. So here's something that to think about with Deion, and because some ADs have brought it up to me. Just hear me out with this part, because I know we talked on the show about his difficulty in managing him and all that stuff. A lot of coaches can be difficult to manage and all that, be managed. I understand that. But here's something that I never really thought about until it was brought up to me. And it's a decent point. He playing in the SWAC. Obviously, it's one of the worst FBS or FCS divisions there is. One of the worst Division I football conferences. And he has got talent on his team that is probably comparable to a high group of 5 team, maybe even some low power 5s. And I think the thought is, well, he can't do that at the next level. He's not, his competition is going to be so much better. We don't project him to carry that over. And I'm not saying I agree with it, but it's just something that was thrown at me, I guess.
Hugh Freeze won big when he was buying the players that you at the time weren't allowed to buy.
That's true.
Like the whole point is get the best players.
Right.
Is he going to have a domination in the SEC over everyone? No. But, like, if you can get the best players, this guy can get the best players. But I hear you, but it's like the SWAC's not enough. Okay.
I mean, yes, I hear you, but the thought of, like, oh, he's too good a recruiter. Wait a minute. That doesn't really, that's not really the way it works.
What is Kirby Smart? What is Kirby Smart? Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, any of these guys, what all they talk about, recruiting, right?
Yeah.
Right? Remember Saban would be pissed because he's playing in the national title game and he missed 2 days on the road of home visits?
Mm-hmm.
It's because they got to add the players. Like, here's the guy that could take whatever program he goes to and immediately put him into that stratosphere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really caring if he shows up at the staff meeting. Yeah, or whatever whatever it is that he's unorthodox. I have heard that as well, but
don't know. If he needs a parking place for his Bentley and his other Bentley and his other Bentley, fine. Do it. I mean, again, hard to manage. Okay, yeah. How did it go managing Hugh Freeze? Ah, you had to fire him. So, you know, I just...
We'll see.
I mean, he's getting something. That's the point.
Whether it's Colorado or South Florida,
these are the smart schools. Which one would you take if you were Deion Sanders? Obviously, one is a Power 5 job, Colorado. Cincinnati's about to become a Power 5 job. USF is his native Florida and is in the South where maybe he has his most power.
Well, I saw the tweet today from the, I think it was a TV reporter down in Tampa, maybe.
Fox 13, I
can't remember.
Yeah.
And I don't know how real the Cincinnati stuff is. I feel like we've all kind of know and have heard the USF in Colorado.
Right.
Deion said he's got offered the job at Colorado. So, you know, between those two, it's hard for me to see him turning down a Power 5 job. It is. But I was on the phone with somebody at Jackson State this afternoon, actually. And he said some interesting things about how he doesn't think Deion would fit well at Colorado. It's too cold for Deion in Colorado. There were some things said like that. And he pointed back to USF. And he pointed back to, and I you know, they're going to invest. They're going to build a new facility they talked about, all this stuff. You know, maybe he does choose to go the non-Power 5 route, or maybe Cincinnati comes in late or another school comes in late.
It's that's up to Deion to decide whether he wants to be cold or not. Proximity to players.
I'm with Deion on that one.
Proximity to talent, too. Yeah.
Proximity to talent, proximity to players at USF.
Yeah.
And you don't have to, you know, you don't have to at least butt heads in the conference with UCF. You will in recruiting, as we will with Florida, Florida State, Miami. You know, UCF, USF should move up in the pecking order in the American, for sure. USF feels like an easy one, but Colorado would be super intriguing. And it's interesting. He interviewed with Colorado State last year, right? And so he clearly doesn't have anything against the state. If he's talked to two different people out there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry we just didn't get a tweet from Deion saying, you know, blessed to have received an offer from Colorado.
That would have been great.
Yeah, and then blessed to have received an offer from South Florida.
Yeah. Please, no interviews. Respect my privacy. No interviews.
Yeah. And then you tag Cincinnati at the bottom of that tweet to see if they want to offer you one.
That's right.
I think I'd take USF. Colorado's a long...
It's a tough job.
Here's the thing. I think he goes to USF. I think he scores he brings his guys. The way the transfer portal now is, he can sell dudes on, look, come with me to USF. He's going to land a lot of good players. And this is a good place to play. We got an NFL stadium. It's Tampa. It's come on down here, big school. And I'm out of here in 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, at some point, one of these schools is going to be like, all right, enough. We're taking them. And so I think he could land a whole bunch of good players and get pretty good really quick. Where I think Colorado, it's like, I mean, I don't know. We got guys to go to Jackson State, but there was sort of like there was something to that, right? It's like we're gonna, you know, HBCUs are appealing and all of these things, but it's like Colorado's a tough go. It's a beautiful place. It just feels like USF would be the one, but
that wouldn't make
or
that
stay make, where he's at.
For another year and then cherry pick maybe something next year. But USF, I think we talked about this quite a bit a couple months ago, real early in the season, about where he would fit. And I remember when jobs started coming open, the first one we said was Arizona State. And then when USF came open, I mean, those are the two, to me, Arizona State and USF, that made the most sense for him.
Yeah, I thought Arizona State would have been great for him. I'll tell you what, I would not want to be any of the Florida schools with Deion Sanders in the state at USF.
Nope. Yeah.
He's not going to beat you on all the guys, but he's going to peel off
his alma mater.
He's going to pick off of some guys that would have gone to Florida State or certainly UCF doesn't want any part of this. You know, he's going to get a much bigger share of talent than you would normally be looking at USF. So
one other thing here, and this may be a bit skewed by talent, but still, we've been talking a fair amount this year about coaches who won their asses off at a lower level. and that being an indicator of what they could do. Lance Leipold was 109-6 in Division III. Kalen DeBoer was 67-3 in NAIA. When you win that much, it generally translates and means you're a good coach, and that's going to probably follow it with you on up the ladder. So, could Dion be that same guy? I don't know, but there could be, to the points we've been making here, there could be a few schools that feel a little bit foolish if it works out, if Dion becomes a superstar and you passed on him.
I'll go one more that's recent. The stunner last night, Trent Dilfer, going from high school to UAB, 38-8 at UAB, a state title, and playing for another one this weekend. So it's a trend, the big name, kind of the celebrity former player name who, just getting these big jobs, and then it's kind of two trends meeting, and then the promotion of guys who have been at the lower level and making the jump up.
How about, UAB, I saw that, Trent Dilfer. Well, we'll see. Not a lot of high school coaches make that jump, but I don't know. What do you think?
They don't. There's been some that have flamed out spectacularly. Probably some that have done okay. I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Yeah, I saw a list. I'm gonna go try to find that list of coaches that went from high school directly into FBS. There's a list I saw, and I'll pull it up. But there was a Notre Dame coach, right?
Jerry Faust.
Faust.
Jerry Faust was the famous one.
Yeah.
Yep. And he did not succeed.
No.
Okay. And then there was Tony Sanchez at UNLV, like a decade ago, who had like five seasons of doing nothing. I'm sure there are others, but.
Yeah. He is the fifth FBS head coach in the last 50 years to make the jump from high school into FBS, into college. This is from Craig Stevenson of AO.com. The others were Bob Cummings, Iowa in 1974, Jerry Faust, Notre Dame in 1981, Todd Dodge at North Texas in 2007, and most recently Tony Sanchez at UNLV.
Oh yeah, Tony
in 2015. I don't know how all those guys did really, but
they did all did but poorly. They all got fired. Tony Sanchez. I can't say for sure that Bob Cummings got fired, but I know the other three did.
UNLV was like, we've tried everything else.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just, the Jerry Faust thing, that was like Notre Dame arrogance at its finest. Like, kids will just want to come play here. We're Notre Dame.
Right. He was a Catholic school coach, high school coach
Cincinnati.
In Cincinnati, and he hummed the fight song going to work. So, yeah, it's just all going to work. That was really one of the weirdest things anybody's ever done.
We would have torched that higher. We'll be nice to Jerry now.
Oh, boy. We would have.
All right, in the biggest sporting news of the day, Wednesday, Wetzel the Horse, race four, Mahoning Valley Race Course, up there near Youngstown, Ohio, right?
Uh-huh, yeah, garden spot on the racing tour.
I believe it's the Yankee Stadium of horse tracks. Race four, the winner, Wetzel the Horse.
The gelding. Let's just make sure that's...
It's still a horse. You make fun of its medical procedure, Pat. You're going to get canceled. Pat, been making fun of my horse. That's a victory. They lined up all the horses in Mahoning Valley race course today. Race number four. And they ran. And who came in first?
Wetzel. How about this? You actually tried to cheat. Apparently, there was an inquiry.
There was an inquiry. Wrongly accused. There was a contention that there was some bumping. It was declined, and Wetzel the Horse rightfully won. If you ain't rubbing, you ain't racing, Pat. This is old NASCAR.
Get out
the way. We're coming. Kentucky Derby.
Slow your roll here. I just doubt you said you have found out some more information about the horse. You have talked to the owners. Give us exactly what's going on.
You talked to the owners?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's going to become an owner. He's going to buy in.
Yeah. Well, I can't disclose the negotiations. It's an ongoing process.
All right. Okay.
But
we're done here.
Trains down in Florida, heading down to Ocala. For the winter.
For the summer.
Yeah. and we'll be back in the spring. We're going to come in strong. So, but no, it's a good, it's the PickView LLC is the company that, owns Wetzel the Horse and trains them. They're really good at, they got a whole operation. They got a bunch of winners. They're doing a good job down there. So
homebred, right?
And they're Ohio State fans.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, the Wetzel the Horse has done better than Ohio State here recently.
We got a win in Ohio this week. I got a win in Ohio. Not so much Ryan Day. Should have run that thing around the horseshoe. Could have just done it right in there. Quick turns.
That's some. I would love to. I'm trying to get the race result here for this one. Get the see if I can get the chart.
Race four.
I want to. Yeah, yeah. Here we go. Race four. Wetzel second. You beat Wildcat Pride.
Yeah, take that, Kentucky.
Second. Serger was third. Let's see what you got up in the final strides. How about that? You were not the favorite. The favorite was Trojan Tail.
Underdog.
You were the second choice.
Underdog.
461. Got up in the final strides. So, yeah, you were in second coming into the stretch and then went ahead and won by a length. How about that? Let's see what your purse of $33,700.
Tall cotton. Not bad. Tall cotton.
You don't get all the purse. You just get part of it. But, all right, man. Kentucky Derby, no. But you're two out of three. I can't believe it. I cannot believe somebody made. Does the horse's what does the horse's name mean? Where did the name come from?
They actually would go. Their dad would make them go work at a guy's a farm or something, who was named Johnny Wetzel.
Really?
So it took on like the symbolism of hard work and grit.
Okay,
that's right.
Oh boy.
So. Naturally, I fit right in with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Yeah. But Wetzel the Horse, you enjoy your little sunshine of Ocala, and we'll be back. We'll be back.
Turn him out here for a couple of months. I like it. I like it.
All right, race for the case time. Let's get this over with. Yeah. Get my seal up my picks for the victory party here.
Uh-huh. You're going to pick the same games as all of us, aren't you?
Now, I'll tell you what. I will go first.
Yes, you go first so we can counter-program you.
Awesome.
Or that's I could like secretly do it. I don't know if I should allow you to counter-program. I could
you
just
should.
Secretly send my ballot in.
Be sporting. This is like we're pressing on the 17th tee here, okay?
I mean, I'm five games under 500, and I'm going to win something. I'm much better at having a horse's name share my last name. All right. Number 11, Utah at number 4, USC. USC is giving 2.5. The game is taking place in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium. Beautiful. So I guess I got to go first, huh?
Yes, go ahead. You do.
Yes, well, leader in the clubhouse.
I'm taking USC. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll be close. I think this one's an easy one. 2.5, they're scared of that event. That was a sketch game. USC was way better than Utah. Throughout that game, a whole bunch of stuff had to happen. It was night. You were there, Pat, weren't you? We had that game?
I was there.
You were there. It was kind of a crazy ending. No way. USC, this is happening. This is happening. Trojans win and suck the life out of the excitement of championship weekend for the on Friday night on Fox. Now, you guys can make your picks. It's irrelevant. I'm going 6-0, so it's irrelevant.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah,
I was there for that game. I'll be there for this one. And looking forward to it. That was a hell of a game. But you are correct in saying that there was not really flukish circumstances, but a lot of circumstances had to go right for Utah. They were on the verge of being blown out several times. They were down 2 touchdowns 3 different times. So credit to them for rallying, but I don't think you can live that way again. I think USC just is better, has more firepower, neutral field, not a night game in Salt Lake City with the Musk going crazy. Caleb Williams is on top of his game. I'm taking the Trojans win and cover.
Same thing here. This is not the one I'm going to go against Dan on. I was at USC Notre Dame, and the Trojans are rolling. Not only that, their defense played really well against Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame's a physical team, runs the ball well. USC entered, ranking the hundreds in rushing defense and Everybody kind of thought they would just run right over Notre Dame, and that did not happen. Similar type of team in Utah. So give me the Trojans. I think it's going to be a close, good game, but give me the Trojans to cover the 2.5.
As long as Lincoln Riley doesn't try to get too cute in this game with his play calling, I think USC rolls. They've had enough time to try and prepare to stop Dalton Kincaid. If they can hold him to about what they hold Michael Mayer last week, I mean, they still won then versus Notre Dame. So I'm taking the Trojans to cover here.
Solid reasoning.
Easy. Number 10, Kansas State. Every man a Wildcat at. Or not really at. Where is this game? Oh, it's in Arlington, Texas, close to number 3 TCU.
Yep.
TCU is giving 2.5. Games at noon on ABC. Huh. Part of me wants to take Kansas State in here with that 2.5. Part of me wants to do that, but I am not. I've gone through this too much with these TCU team. I'm not going to pick against them. I will take TCU giving the 2.5. They'll find a way. Very determined team. This should be a very good game, though. Not a lot of confidence points on this pick. Let me put it that way.
Huh.
There would also be this. Now, remember, in 2014, TCU got booted out of the playoff from number 3 because they didn't have a championship game and didn't get to play a 13th game. And then this year, they could conceivably get booted out because they had to play a 13th game.
Right. It's college football logic and...
Yeah,
the highest order.
Both times by Ohio State.
Yeah.
Like that would pretty much say it all.
It would be like riots in Fort Worth if it happens again.
I have been picking all year against the Horned Frogs. I think I picked them 6 or 7 times to lose outright, not just not cover, but lose. And they just keep on winning. But this is one of the ones I'm going to go against Dan on here. And once again, going to keep with tradition of the season. I'm going to pick against TCU and probably regret it later. Give me the Wildcats plus 2.5.
I mean, 2.5 is a good number in this game. That's a thing.
Yeah. I hate this situation because I have to pick against Dan, but I really have to also pick against Ross. So now I'm screwed either way. I can't go against TCU. I am taking TCU here. I just think they're better. I think that they are eyes on the prize, ready, focused, locked in. Last game when they played Kansas State, Adrian Martinez gets hurt in the middle of the game. They lose a dual threat guy. They bring in a pocket passer, Will Howard, and TCU's like, whoa, our game plan isn't ready for this. And he picked them apart for quite a while. It took them a while to get it together, and then they turned around and won. This time, they know exactly what they're going to get, and they're going to be ready for Will Howard. TCU's going to win and cover.
Yeah, if Ross had picked TCU, I would have picked Kansas State just for the, I guess, the tradition of the season, just because I had picked TCU as a lock at times, and then all throughout the season. I can't rationalize taking a possible playoff berth away from them by picking Kansas State. That's narcissistic, I understand, but I'm going to have to stay with the Horned Frogs here for them to cover.
Yeah, you know, I would say that your decision on who to pick does not factor into the playoff committee's selection, but I don't know that.
I can't confirm
it
that.
Might.
Boo Kurgan is listening to the pod, man, on the way to the party Friday night up there in Dallas.
Remember they all sit around? They always show a photo of
they
them
have
all
the
sitting
bacon.
There.
The free
no
bacon.
One's got any drinks or anything. It's like the worst viewing party ever.
Like, yeah, like nobody is having any fun.
Sitting there going, when does this end? Who signed me up for this?
Right.
Yeah. Games in Arlington. There'll be a lot of TCU fans, but if you think it's going to be all TCU, you don't know those Kansas State fans. The purple people are going to show up now.
They'll show up.
Oh, yeah.
Both teams. I mean, it's great. Neither team's been in a Big 12 championship game, I don't believe. So
oh, there you go.
I mean, K-State is way back in the day.
Yeah, right. A lot of purple, too. A lot of purple. A
lot of purple.
Just a random person.
No burnt orange and no cream and crimson.
If you're, like, at the Walmart across the street and there's just that everyone's wearing purple, you're going to be like, what? I just came on in to get my groceries. All right, number 14, LSU at number 1, Georgia. Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Saturday, 4 p.m. on CBS. SEC title game. Often the best game of the year. Lost that this time. Georgia is giving 17.5. Interesting. That's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points.
Ross, don't try to bait me into taking a little. I see what you're doing. You will not.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm mentally strong. I have not fallen.
I'm playing my Jedi mind tricks on you.
I'm actually mentally, extremely mentally weak. I'm not picking against Georgia. I'm sorry. Georgia 17.5. I do think LSU could do this, though. They could cover. I don't think they could win. But I'm going to take Georgia. Georgia will cover. It's a lot of points, though.
Well, here's where I go. Just having to pick to try to win the case. But I don't think I'm going to win the bet here because I think Georgia's going to pound them. But I will take LSU in the points for the sheer purpose of oppo programming against Wetzel. Let's go, Tigers. Get a couple turnovers. Try not to give up any deep passes. Score a little bit. Cover for me.
Sounds good.
I'm going to agree. I'm going to go the Tigers to cover the 17.5. Too many points for me. I know they struggled against A&M, got whipped at A&M, so how would they compete against Georgia? I think it's going to be one of those kind of bounce-back situations, and I kind of like this game coming down to the wire, actually. I could see a kind of a more of a low-scoring, 24-16 type of thing, so give me LSU to cover it.
I'm going to leave Dan as the lone bulldog here and go with LSU also. Maybe I'm gaming the system a little bit. Maybe I think that Brian Kelly is still trying to get some recruiting points this weekend, keeping it close with the Bulldogs, get a season capped off at a nice big win total, or just say, hey, look, these are national champs. We came real close. You come play for us. Maybe we get them next year. So I can maybe rationalize LSU not getting beat by 18 points in this game.
Well, I think this game means a whole lot to Brian Kelly. He wants to win the SEC title.
Yeah, first year.
Yeah.
And I'll make it take down Georgia.
No, I think they were overlooking A&M last week. Right. And I don't know. Maybe they didn't even prepare for it. I that was a disaster. But look, if Brian Kelly can walk in year one and win the SEC, even if you don't make the playoff, that's enormous. So, but that's all right. I'm okay with being the lone pick on the number one team in the country. Purdue at number two Michigan. It's in Indianapolis. I keep reading it wrong.
Matter of fact, it's closer to Purdue.
Yeah.
Lucas Oil 65 miles or so, I think, from Lucas
Oil. That's tempting, Dan. That's tempting. Boilermakers to cover, maybe.
What's tempting? What's tempting?
That's tempting. Purdue close to home. Trying my Jedi tricks on you. Got my Jedi trips going.
Yeah. I mean, 17 is a lot of points. Michigan's going to win this football game. I don't know if they get Mike Morse back. They're still hurt. That's the biggest problem with Michigan. They're hurt. But I'm not taking Purdue. They're the champs of the Big Ten West, which is not much. So I'll take Michigan. 17 is a lot. Because you just don't know, but the team is flying high. They absolutely destroyed Iowa last year in this game, and they absolutely will be focused on winning. So I will take the Wolverines.
I'm not real confident in Purdue, but they're really close to home.
You don't think Michigan fans showing up? You think they're just not going to fill their allotment? No,
Purdue's going to fill the whole stadium up. They're going to bring the drum, maybe multiple drums. Might bring multiple drums.
That's true.
You know what? Hell with it. Give me the drum to cover 17. There you go. Boom. I'm just going against you pretty much everyone. We're going to see. We're rolling the dice here.
There we go. Here we go.
I'm going with the Boilermakers. I'm taking the Boilermakers here. Jeff Brohm upset Warlock, right? Upset. I think it was Penn State or Ohio State was number two in 2018. Beat them down. Beat them bad. Last year, Iowa was number two. Beat them bad. Last year, Michigan State was number three. Beat them. Not bad, but beat them. So Brom finds ways to pull off upsets. They're going to come in with like five trick plays. They're going to have fake kicks ready. They're going to throw the ball 55 times. It's going to be just enough. I wish I had seen even a hint from Michigan that they were self-satisfied on Saturday after the game. But when J.J. McCarthy took the hat off, the Big Ten East Division Championship's hat off his head, dropped it on the table and said, "This means nothing.
Ooh.
Business still to do." It was like, oh, they're going to be ready. But so what? I'm taking Purdue. Boiler up.
Pat, I have to back you up here. October 20th, 2018, Purdue defeats number 2 Ohio State 49-20. October 16th, 2021, Purdue defeats number 2 Iowa 24-7. Destroyed them. No, November 6th, 2021, Purdue defeats number 3 Michigan State 40-29. Jeff Brohm, 3-0 versus top 3 teams, went unranked. Wow. Rolling with the drum.
Boom, 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 boom.
That's because those teams overlooked Purdue. They weren't paid.
How do you know?
Hail to the victor's value.
How do you know Michigan isn't going to?
You guys have a little fun trying to talk yourself into this. Go ahead. Good job. Good job. Good job.
Yeah.
All right.
Fine.
Number 9, Clemson. Number 23, North Carolina. Bank of America Stadium, Charlotte. 8 p.m. ABC. Clemson is giving 7.5. Boy, here's a game that's not very exciting.
No. Oof.
That's for sure.
Stinky.
Here's how Saturday night's going to go. We're going to be flipping back and forth between Michigan trampling Purdue and that game, Clemson, North Carolina. Boy, that's what we got.
I got no, this is a tough pick. Like, is the team does William Christopher have his team ready to play? Are they listening to him? Mm. Is, how many guys are ready for the portal? Yikes. I think Carolina will come to play. 7.5. Man, what a tough number. That's a tough number.
Looks like he's having trouble, Pat.
I am having trouble with it.
He's struggling. Struggling.
I'll take Clemson anyway. But come on, DJ, play. Then leave. Come on, man.
I'll take Clemson. I was hoping you'd pick North Carolina. Yeah, give me Clemson. I'm not going to go against Dan on this one. I think Clemson covers the 7.5. Yeah, need a little bit more out of old DJ. The good thing is the Tar Heels can't run the ball very well. And guess what? They have trouble stopping the run in the pass. So they can pass the ball, and that's about it. So I'm gonna take Clemson to actually run away with this one in the end.
See, I'd love to go with you, but I can't. I got to go. If I'm lone heel, I'm lone heel.
That's right.
Go Heels. Drake May, throw for 500 and 5 touchdowns, buddy. Get it done for me. I don't know whether you can do anything else, North Carolina. We need DJ to turn it over 2 or 3 times. Clemson to just kind of screw around and not get the ball in the end zone. Go Heels. Cover.
I don't think Dabo is going to create a team that quits in the last game of the season. I think he likes the hardware. I think he likes people talking about him. But this team is not fully built. I think UNC has a shot to cover the 7.5. All right, I'm going with the Tar Heels.
I love the angst involved there.
Yeah, that was fun. All right, lock of the week. There's still 7 additional games. Outside those 5. There's 7 additional games this weekend. I get first pick on lock of the week, and I will go to the Mountain West, which has been good to me all year. Hey, you guys wanted me to go first. Boise State given 3 at home against Fresno. Fresno has turned its season around. Great, great comeback, great run in Mountain West play, but it ends on Saturday at 4 p.m. on Fox. I'm all about Boise. Who's had a remarkable season. So Boise State, lock of the week, and that will lock it up.
Certified lock.
That sweet Bush Light.
I attended in New Orleans the last UCF Tulane game. They play again in New Orleans this weekend for the AAC title. Green Wave lost and got whipped up and down the field most of the game. a few weeks ago, but came back at the very end and kind of made it tight. And actually, it was a really good game in the late in the fourth quarter. So, and I'm thinking this time, it's going to be a similar type game. And I think the 4 points is too much for me. Two lanes of paper by four, and the Gus Puss goes in there and they take care of business again. And the Gus Bus is heading to the Cotton Bowl. So give me the points and give me the Knights.
Certified lock.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, Willie Fritz is sticking around at Tulane.
That's right.
Right? Said he's back. Yep. That's a really big development for them, for Tulane. I think the Gus Bus has got to be a little like, why did Auburn fire me? Fired me for Hugh Freeze? Come on, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I think Gus is probably a bit chapped.
Yeah.
But
Pat, you just look defeated over there. You just look defeated. You're now out of options, good picks, too. You're down to like North Texas. And
I've got options here. I really do. I've got options. I actually was having a tough time deciding, but I have decided.
I'm kind of mad I didn't pick the Mac, but go ahead.
That's what I'm taking, baby. I'm taking the Mac-tion.
All right.
Now, I was tempted to actually go with the Friday afternoon Mac-tion. I mean, yes. Is there anything more beautiful than Friday 1 p.m. on December 2nd? Not like a holiday day, but Friday at 1 p.m., Akron is playing Buffalo.
Yeah, 2-9 Akron at 5-6 Buffalo at 1 p.m.
Tremendous. Yeah.
Blizzard makeup game, and I'm like, Akron wants no part of that. They don't care. They're going to mail it in. Then I looked. Oh, they won their last game 44-12. So maybe they actually will show up. So I'm not betting that game. I'm not. I'm going to the MAC championship the next day at noon in Ford Field. Toledo against Ohio. Ohio has finished the season on fire. I know they lost their quarterback, Curtis Rourke, but that's okay. They're still playing extremely well. Toledo's lost its last two games backing in here. So I'm going to take the Bobcats and the points, 3.5. Give me Ohio to cover, win, take the MAC championship, and deliver me the comeback victory in Race for the Case.
Certified lock.
All right. It's hottest team in the MAC. There's no question.
Yep.
Jeez, this board stinks. I can't believe this. The FCS and all its flaws, it's your second round of playoffs. Get some lines out. God. All right. I'll lock in with the Chanticleers this weekend. Yep. Covering, they're getting 8.5 versus Troy. I don't. I wish I had more analysis on this game. you know what? We're going for a miracle season. We're going for a miracle 6-0 week here. So I'm just going to – I'll throw a jump ball for Coastal Carolina to cover in this game.
Certified lock.
We also do have the New Mexico State got a game to try to get bowl eligible, although I don't know if it really counts.
Who are they playing, like Savannah State or something?
No, Valparaiso.
Valpo. That's
yeah, Bryce Drew will be a quarterback.
That's another one where you're like, you're the players at Valpo, and you're like, all right, man, our season's done. I can't wait to party this weekend. Hey, what? We're going to Las
Their
Cruces,
season
New Mexico?
Ended November 19th. What?
Oh, my God.
They lost to Drake 24-0 back in mid-November, thought the season was over, and are now heading down to Las Cruces. So New Mexico State can get to 6-6. It's an FCS win, but it would get them to 6-6 because they had a game against San Jose State postponed. So this gets them to 6-6. I said last week, Jerry Kill done an incredible job at New Mexico State. But, yeah, this is one of the funnier games.
I am so disappointed there's not a line on that game.
Yeah, well, I would have picked it because New Mexico State's going to win 50-0.
Oh, yeah. That's a COVID. That's like a COVID throwback game. Like, hey, you guys want to come down and play? Oh, yeah, okay.
I mean, what was the coach like texting around to the team? You guys up? Hey, guys. Yeah. Like, dude, I was just Thanksgiving eating and stuff. Like,
yeah.
It's Valpo
I need
football.
44 guys to say yes to getting on the plane.
Who wants a trip to New Mexico?
Yeah.
Oh man, Flow Sports makes its return.
Yeah,
couldn't even get that on ESPN Plus. Come on, that's one of my favorite games of the year. The Valparaiso is now called the Beacons.
What? Yeah. They're not the Crusaders?
Oh, is Crusaders politically incorrect? I guess it must be.
Maybe. I don't know.
Why would you change? Anyway, yeah, right. Good luck.
We'll be monitoring that
game.
We'll
monitor. We're going to discuss that on the overreaction. We'll have the playoff field, of course. We'll have Coach Prime's decision. Very exciting. Lot happening. We'll be back late Sunday night or early Monday morning with all that. We appreciate everyone who listened across the year. People are throwing their Spotify's up. Some of you guys listened to like 5,000 minutes of this show.
That's holy crazy. God.
Yeah.
I'm flattered and concerned.
Yeah, concerned is really it. But not all of you are dead. But no, we do appreciate it. We'll have a good show. We'll have a good show on Sunday. So we will talk to you later.